You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Live music. No live music.
We're live talking about music. It's close.
Close enough, I would say. It's the next best thing to music is talking about music.
Yeah, it's true. That's why I started listening to and then recording podcasts, essentially. I was like, wow. I love music so much, but I don't want to listen to it anymore. I just want to talk about it. Or listen to people talk about it. It's great.
I mean, it works. It works.
It works. Welcome, chat. Welcome, everybody on the podcast. It's good. It's good to be here. How was your week, Mike?
It was a pretty good week.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Got all my workouts in. Didn't miss one.
Good.
Work's starting to calm down a little bit, which is always nice. The weather's turning.
Yeah.
Here in the northern states.
Oh, yeah.
Starting to get a bit nicer.
It was like hot out today. I haven't gone out too much. I've been actually pretty busy myself. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get out. We're going like full lockdown in Ontario. We already are, but we're going even more lockdown. Like,
oh no.
Like, yeah, they are not only leaving pharmacies and, grocery stores open, but in places like Walmart, where they sell other shit, they're going to rope that stuff off. So like you can't even buy, like if you
like
want clothes
or whatever.
Exactly. Like they're taking everything like the furthest step we've taken. So I had to go to Canadian Tire to get some, dishwasher tabs. That was exciting. But I went out and it was like, I was wearing a hoodie and I was like, holy fuck, I don't need this. It's like, feels like summer out here.
Yeah, it's been beautiful. It's been like, what, 75, 80 degrees?
So yes, nice. It's absolutely gorgeous. Well, welcome, chat. Welcome, everyone, on the podcast. We are talking new music, and we like to start with last week, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we do. That's kind of our format, our thing.
It is. What were your thoughts on things?
So first off, our number one from last week, that new Wild Truth EP, Drift. What'd you think of it?
Well, we'd already heard it last week, but I would love to reiterate for the people that don't know this band, because they're a small band, they're a new band, but they're absolutely amazing. This is one of the best EPs of the year. If you like old / new Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, anything in that vein, I've watched their monthly listeners double in the past over the weekend. From they were under 1,000, now they're at 1,700. They're still a small band. You're still getting in early. Okay, this is like Bitcoin in 2008. You want to get in on this, okay? Wild Truth, check it out. Great EP.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I went through and I re-listened to it probably another one or two times over the weekend, and I just fell more in love with it. I mean, I think it's a great release. It's kind of everything you want from what they're trying to do. It's very poppy. It's very catchy. But you've still got the tinges of like pop punk and stuff there that you can tell that's where their roots are.
Absolutely.
And then the other release I really wanted to talk about was the new Demi Lovato album.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance?
I did. I did. Pretty heavy album, you know?
Oh, 100%.
She really didn't hold back at all. Long record.
Yeah. And honestly, I was surprised because There was a cover on this record, and I didn't hate the fact that there was a cover on an official record.
Oh, the Tears for Fears cover?
Yeah, that cover of Mad World was amazing, and it felt at home on the album, which is kind of strange. It normally brings me out of the album, but I don't know, it was just right here.
Yeah, and I haven't read very much about the album at all. Mm-hmm. To kind of pick her brain about why that's there. But I do think it's, when you think about music and what it means to somebody that's gone through trauma, I mean, everybody that makes music is a music fan, right? And everybody mm-hmm. has that music that's helped them through time. So you can only assume that that's part of what it is, you know, 100%. Like an ode to music that's helped her continue to create music. So I don't know exactly the story behind it. I'd be very curious to know, but mm-hmm. I really do like that it's here. And again, it felt like a good change in the record. It didn't feel like weird or out of place.
A lot of times I feel like a cover kind of, and it was towards the end of the record, but I feel like a cover towards the end of the record kind of thrown in. It always feels like they're just trying to make up time and kind of like, well, we wanted this release to be 40 minutes and we've got 36 minutes worth of songs that are good enough for the record. Let's just toss a cover on there.
Right.
But this just, it felt like it was supposed to be there, and I was really happy that it was. Overall, I agree with you. The record was heavy all the way through. I kind of just mm-hmm. took a bath and relaxed, lights off, and I've got those like glow stars on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
So like I just had all the lights off, the nice little ambiance, and just relaxed and, well, tried to relax with that heavy album playing. But all the way through, I just really loved it, and it's going to be probably on my Cry in the Shower album rotation. So,
yeah, 100%, 100%. I thought the duet with Ariana Grande was an interesting mm-hmm. track on there, too.
Yeah.
It was like a little different than I would have expected a song for them to make, given both the like trauma that they've faced.
Yeah.
You know, in their lives, it's kind of an interesting song. But I just really like this album. I don't know. I've only listened mm-hmm. to it once all the way through. Been meaning to dive into it again. And it's just so much here. It's so much to talk about that it's I kind of almost feel like I shouldn't, because I couldn't write a review on it. Yeah, I haven't it hasn't registered with me quite yet, but
mm-hmm.
but yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's all I've got to talk about from last week. Like mm-hmm. I said, it's a bit of a shorter week.
Yeah, me too.
We kind of went back and did some things we missed. Everybody, make sure you go check out those too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get into this week again. Yeah. Bit of
another
a
weird week.
Another weird week. We are going to do another something a little bit weird. We're going to do a top three, and then we're going to actually preview three records from next week, because next week's a big week.
It is absolutely massive next week. There's probably 10 releases I would love to talk about. And we just don't have the time, because everybody wants to come in here, get the new, go listen to the music. And I don't want to do that to people. If you really want to dive in, obviously check out the list and everything like that that I put out. And I'm sure you'll be able to find everything there. But we want to get talking about the new stuff this week, I think.
Let's do it. I'm ready for the top three, Mike. We'll start with number three.
So number three, we've got kind of an older band coming out of West Virginia. We've got the new album, The Crimson Corridor, from Zao.
Oh, yes, right. Of
course,
Zao.
Metalcore band.
This is, we've talked about Zao a little bit mm-hmm. in the past few months. I guess they've been releasing singles,
giving us a smattering.
And for people that don't know this band, they kind of started it all in terms of metalcore, chugga 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 style,
not Atreyu, contrary to popular belief.
Yes, this definitely predates Atreyu. In fact, I'm not sure when the first Zao album came out. I'll look it up right now real quick. But their big breakthrough album, it came out in 1998. It's called Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest. And this is...
Release was 96.
Yeah, okay, 96. So this was 98. This was, I guess, their third album. And this really put them on the map. They were known as being super, super aggressive, really, really heavy, and also really, really like militant Christian. I believe this album was out on Tooth and Nail, or Solid State, you know, same label. Very intense, on all fronts, and a lot of member changes over the years. I don't know if anybody is remaining in the band from that album. Perhaps the singer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I can check on the Wikipedia real quick.
They always have those. I mean,
handy timelines.
I mean, it's a little bit of interesting musical history with this band is that Brett Detter of the Juliana Theory, he used to play guitar in Zao. In fact, he played guitar on the record I just mentioned, you know, classic metalcore record. And obviously the Juliana Theory went on to, I mean, influence so many bands in the emo genre. So really interesting. Heather Avoid says they're not as Christian anymore. I believe that. But yeah, they're back after quite a long time, I believe, too. And
yeah, the last release was 2016. 2019 or 2009 before that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the Wikipedia, no original members. No. They have the same vocalist from the third album.
Okay. Okay.
They have the same lead guitarist from the fourth album, the same rhythm guitarist from the third album, the same bassist or no, the bassist is new around 2006 as well as the drummer. So,
yeah. No, but this is, I mean, this is like the band that really did start it all. And judging from the singles, Mike and I had a little listen right before this to the singles together.
Yep.
It's very much what you would expect. Like, it sounds pretty 2001, but it's intense, man. Like, this is not for the faint of heart. There's a bit of a nod maybe to Converge in some of this, but there's still that very much late 90s, early 2000s, chugga-chugga metalcore and drumming to go along with it.
100%. And like, I think the Converge reference is spot on. I was definitely picking up those vibes. I got a little bit of it almost felt like they were getting a little bit more proggy than they normally do, almost kind of like some of the heavier portions of what Gojira does as well. But I think definitely with Zao's kind of sludginess to it. I'm excited for this album though. I think it's going to be a good release from these guys. And it's always good to kind of listen to the bands that really started it all, I think.
Absolutely, man. I mean, this is without Zao, I don't know who would have grabbed the bull by the horns and said, this is heavy ass metalcore. Like they were they took it so much further than everybody else way before everyone else did it. And, they really, really pushed it forward, moved the needle. I'm having trouble with my expressions today. But they were really important, instrumental in moving the genre forward.
Yeah. And I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes. Number two already. Are we going to get into it?
Number two, we've got an awesome, awesome band, Rookie Card Opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This band was on our Locals Only stream a couple of weeks ago. And I think that they're a lot of fun. They're releasing their new album, Turning Point, and we're going to talk about the band Good Terms.
Yes, this band's great.
100% agree.
And it's really an interesting band, too, because they are as good as anyone in that kind of like easycore genre. I think that they could easily be touring the world, doing the thing. They could be on the next, I don't know, 4 Year Strong tour, Day to Remember 100%. Tour, whatever. But they're busy. They're busy with their own careers in the music industry, of different various jobs, and they kind of do this band for fun. But that doesn't make them any less good, you know.
No, I mean, I've got the record. I was able to listen to it. I checked it out a second time today after my workout while I was in the shower. And there's the boys. They're in the chat.
Here they are.
But this record's amazingly fun. It's got classic easycore with a lot of the modern elements that I like to see in scene releases. If I was going to compare these guys to a band that is a little bit more popular, I would say they've got elements of like Dear Youth and We Were Sharks and there are portions that really remind me of bands like Settle Your Scores, who are kind of like some of the only bands waving the flag in the easycore scene anymore. And I mean, listening to this, I even get Beartooth vibes at times where there's just this really nice breakdown and some really emotional screaming going on. And you can really tell that these guys wear their influences on their sleeves, and they're kind of bringing everything that they've heard into a really cohesive sound. And it's done super well. I love this album.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. It is out on Friday, right?
It is out on Friday.
It is out on Friday. I see there's a boatload of singles here. They're even waterfalling their singles. You can tell they work in the music industry the way that they're they're putting them out, which is cool. But no, these guys, it's just good terms is the band name, but it's just good vibes. Like, you can just tell
100%.
Listening to this band that they enjoy what they do. They're in it just for the fun of it. They want to do it the right way. And I really love that. And apparently they're sending me a record. I didn't even ask for it. So I can't wait to get it. Sweet. So very happy to spread the word on this band. If you haven't heard of them, you're going to love them. If you are into any, you know, of that kind of, I mean, you know, all the bands Mike just mentioned.
And I mean, their tagline is your friendly neighborhood emo band. And I think that that's A, funny as hell, and B, the perfect descriptor for who these guys are.
Exactly.
They've all been in the scene for a long time. They know what's going on. And I think that they're going to be opening up shows. I think they're going to be opening up shows nationally real soon.
Yeah, I think they will. If they can get time off work.
Yeah, if they can. I think that for these guys, this is going to turn into the passion project that becomes the real job. You know what I mean? How people are always like, oh yeah, I started out doing this and it kind of led to this, and then all of a sudden I'm doing my dream job. I think that's what's going on here. These guys are going to fall in love again with touring and playing on stage, and it's going to blow up. Yeah. It's going to be great. We're going to go see them, and we're going to come out of Mosh retirement. It's going to be a good time.
It is amazing how many bands that have gotten a lot of success did start like that. That was just like, oh, you know, like, maybe it would just be fun to like do this other thing. And then like, there's something that just clicks, because when you do something, oh, they say full-time touring is the goal. There you go. It's nice to have them just here in the chat.
I know, right?
It really does happen. And we, even referencing Brett Detter and the Juliana Theory from our last, the record we talked about last, Zayo, I talked to him, and even he said like, oh, this was just like, I don't know, I just felt like this would be maybe more fun to like sing and play guitar than just like chug, chug, chug all the time. And then like, it was good because it was fun. And that sometimes really is the secret sauce, you know, to music.
It really is. And I mean, a lot of people, they'll say, oh man, yeah, we're just putting out another record and things like that. But you can really tell the difference between a band who is still out there having a good time and doing what they love, and a band who kind of feels kind of closed in, and they're just making another record to make another record.
100%, man. All right, well, it's a little early in the stream to get into a number one, but I don't mind it. Shall we?
I don't mind either. I mean, we got a lot of stuff after the number one too.
Exactly. This is kind of like an earlier on the stream number one. We'll take a second to talk about our sponsor. They're called Rockabilia. Up in the corner. Mike is, I don't believe you got that from Rockabilia, that shirt, that Don Broco shirt, but that is
not
a hell of a shirt. What is going on there?
It's the cowboy. Have you ever seen the Don Broco cinematic universe of music videos?
I have, you know what? I have seen them. I haven't seen maybe not all of them. And I think I've only seen them once, which is a damn shame, because they're all incredible.
They're amazing. But there's this recurring character of the cowboy.
Okay.
And he is honestly one of the best parts of this, of the like music video experience. Like, he's even involved in their live music videos now. Like, they did a live music video for Half Man, Half God. And it's like cutting back and forth between the cowboy getting ready in the dressing room and like the band on stage. And then there's like a breakdown in the middle, and they have a circle pit just kind of spinning with the cowboy in the middle, just dancing. And it is absolutely beautiful. I love these guys.
Awesome.
I love the cowboy.
No, that's
whole vibe's good.
That's awesome. Yes.
Back to rockabilia.com.
But yeah, if you want merch similar to Mike's, I'm wearing an Adidas shirt again. Hey, what can I say? I love Adidas. They probably got some Adidas stuff. I don't know. Go over to rockabilia.com, use promo code Shane, S-H-A-N-E, and you'll save 10% off their already low prices.
Hell
They're good people, and they care. They sponsor this podcast and other podcasts, and they really are pushing the scene forward. So if you want to support, you know, a good company that gives back, they're a good one to go to, and they've got stuff no one else has. So agreed. Check them out.
And to go back to Don Broker real quick, I saw recently they've been doing a lot of like tour diaries on Instagram and stuff like that. They were checking their guitar riffs by syncing them to Limp Bizkit music videos and making sure that they go hard. And I think that that's something that every band needs to adopt because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I mean, it worked. So.
So wait, they were watching just the video portion,
just the video,
and then they were writing riffs that went with the Fred.
And
I
don't know if they like sped up or like slowed down the riff so that it just like fit in time signature with the video, but like whatever they had going on playing over this Limp Bizkit video, it was great. And I mean, that's how you keep the fun in it too, I think, is just doing stupid shit like that.
I won't name names, but there was a metalcore band, a very popular metalcore band one time that I heard directly from them that when they aren't sure what to do in a song, they literally just put on Bury Your Dead and just steal a riff from them. So,
I mean, it works.
And then I listened to the band and I was like, oh shit, you weren't kidding. This is literally a Bury Your Dead riff, but hey man, some people just do what they can get away with.
Yeah. I mean, Bury Your Dead are some of the greats, just like Zayo, original metalcore.
That's
been around for a long, long time.
That's right. So, that's right. Very,
if it works, don't fix it.
Very different moral fabric. But
yeah.
All right. Okay, we're going to get into the number one record right after. Number one. Number one.
Number one, we've also got kind of a passion project this week.
Yes.
Yes. Two guys. I don't know if there's more than two, but I'm pretty sure it's just the two guys.
Just two guys.
Who are incredibly talented. And they have come from doing other crazy projects. First off, we've got Nick Nocturnal.
Mm-hmm.
Insane guitarist. Yep. Funny dude. Nice dude.
Yeah.
Twitch streamer, YouTuber.
Yep.
All around, just super talented dude. Gives a lot of great like music advice on how to write, things like that. And Andy Sizek.
Yes.
YouTuber. I'm pretty sure you could like book an entire show with just his bands at this point. He's got so many. Monuments, Wonder, Makari, and the band we're going to talk about, Termina.
That's right. Termina. And Nick Nocturnal's on right now.
Is he?
He is. We should have done some kind of little, I don't know.
We should have maybe let him know. I don't know.
I should have. I actually have been talking to him about getting him on, you know, on just on the channel. Just because, you know, we're both channels. We're both in the same genre,
exactly,
talking about music and stuff. So he's going to come on here at some point. I'll talk to him, Mike. Maybe we can have him come on maybe next week or something.
Next week, talk about the album?
This would have been good. Yeah, talk about the album. Absolutely. But no, dude, this is a really, really cool project and just oozing with talent. And I love the stuff so far. Andy Sizek, the guy's unbelievable.
I don't know what he can't do, because you hear him on a project like this and he's doing gutturals and he's doing his clean vocals and he's doing fry screaming. Then you hear him on Monuments and he's like almost to the point of doing deathcore. And then you hear him on Makari and he's doing like almost a kind of pop acoustic thing most of the time with some screams in there. And then he's doing Wonder, which is another different beast.
Yeah.
And then he still occasionally does a YouTube cover and things like that where he does pop music, and dude's just off the wall. He is so talented. He's literally like Tillian, I want to compare him to, and just other people in our scene that I can't even come up with just because Andy's so multifaceted.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. I mean, he's
raw
he's,
talent.
He has way more versatility than Tillian. I mean, Tillian is, don't get me wrong, Tillian is incredible. Maybe pound for pound, if you're having a singing contest, maybe Tillian comes out on top. But if you're talking about, okay,
the whole package,
if you're talking about rock vocalist, Andy Sizek could be the best. And that's like, I'm not even exaggerating. This guy is unbelievable. So yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a real, real cool record. I'm interested to see, like, I feel like this band is this record or this project is like as big as really they want it to be, because they're obviously they're so busy with like other stuff going on. I don't know if they're going to be able to put in the,
I don't think they're going to tour on it or anything like that.
I mean,
like,
who knows what touring is?
Maybe,
I mean,
like
right
Twitch
now,
live stream playthroughs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
It's like it might be the kind of thing that just like kind of lives here forever, but and it will be like people will really love it. But I don't know if like we'll ever get to see this live or what it'll end up being. But hey, you never know. Again, this is this we could file this under, you know, the last band. Where it's like, hey, maybe this is just a fun project they put together that ends up like really resonating because it's fun.
Yeah. And I mean, you never know how these things develop. I mean, the music scene's an ocean coming and going, and you never know what's going to come back when the tide comes back in, right?
Exactly. But... hold on. We have to address a comment in the chat here.
Oh, yeah?
This is fucking lies.
Yeah, you're... fucking
you're,
wrong.
You're fucked, dude. I'll express out loud because
get the goddamn pitchforks and torches ready.
I'm gonna put this out there, okay? The real underscore B Smith, okay? Find him. He has stated in public, in a public forum, Don Broco is overrated, which is a goddamn lie. If anything, they're underrated. I love this band.
This band
big
is...
big oof. Thank you, Ninja Shark.
Like, I have shown Don Broco to people who are like, I strictly listen to death metal. And they're like, all right, this shit's pretty bumping and fun. I show it to my friends who just like garage punk and like foreign music and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, Don Broco's on at the gym. This is a good time. Like, you... can't write a banger like T-shirt song and like be overrated. Like I literally look around huge festivals whenever they play that song and everyone in the crowd has their shirt off if they can.
Yes.
It's insane.
Yes.
This Don Broco is an amazing band and we will talk about them so much this year because they're putting out an album.
Now he's saying he's a fan. Yeah, he's backing it up now and saying, no, I'm a fan.
Whatever. Don Broco is God's gift to Earth. And we get to talk about them this year because there's going to be a new album, and I can't wait for it.
Cannot wait.
Almost makes me feel bad for Era.
Right. Anything else to tell the people about Termina before we move on to some previews?
No, I think Termina is going to be a great project. I mean, we didn't really describe the band very much besides like the talented guys. Obviously, it's kind of a metalcore project. That's what Nick Nocturnal does is he focuses more on like metalcore. I've listened to the three singles that they put out. They put out a new single today called Fade Away.
Cool.
All three singles are awesome. The single actually premiered via Loudwire, which I was like, wow, that's actually really big for you guys. That's super cool.
Yeah, but, that is cool. No, good for them. It says, I mean, their description on Spotify says that they are a new modern metal project. So not new NU, just NEW. So I think like it's hard. It's a little hard to describe. Like you can't just say, oh, it's metalcore. Or, oh, it's proggy. Or there's elements of all that. Yeah. And I think it's just going to be, from what I've heard, it's really great. And this is just going to be a really great one. I'll be interested if they do anything experimental that isn't in the singles.
I think there was a little bit on this new song. It definitely got a little bit darker and almost a little genty at points, which I really liked. And Andy did some really weird, like half clean, half scream vocals, but they were like super deep too. And I was like, I didn't know you could do that with your voice, but thank you for just making me or for affirming how wonderful of a vocalist you are.
Yes. He can do anything, I'm convinced. And if he can't, he'll figure it out.
He'll learn how to do it.
That's him. Absolutely. All right. That's the top three. Let's recap real quick. Mike, go take it away.
So coming in at number three, we've got the new album from Zayo.
Yes. Metalcore Legends. Number two.
Number two, we've got Good Terms.
Good Terms. Your friendly neighborhood emo band.
Got it.
And number one,
I thought you wouldn't get it there, but
I got it.
Number one, we've got the new album Dysphoria from Termina.
There it is. There's the top three. Okay, now we're going to do something we've never done before. We are going to preview three records. I'm not sure if these would be honorable mentions next week or if they may be in the
five. They'll be honorable mentions. I don't know.
But we're going to talk about them now. We got a little extra time, and these are three really interesting projects. So I'll let you take it away, Mike.
So I don't remember where we decided to start.
With a certain Detroit band.
That's right. So coming out of Detroit, Michigan, obviously where I'm from, and Shane is nearby as well. We've got this kind of ambient punk project called The Armed with their new album Ultra Pop, all caps.
Yeah, this band, yeah, they're punk and they're really cool, right? This is like, it's kind of in this weird world where they kind of don't care.
Right? I mean,
like it's kind of maybe a little bit like Pitchfork probably really likes this band kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I would describe them as kind of like punk music with black metal production, where it's kind of like you're recording a little bit too far away from the microphone and it sounds kind of echoey and ambient. There's not really a lot of electronic or like tones and stuff like that going on, but it's just, it sounds raw. And I think these guys have great songwriting, kind of despite the unpretty packaging for a lot of people. And I think they're doing something really fun. And I always love supporting my local boys too.
So. Yeah, no, absolutely. It is kind of a weird project though. Like I know that they record with Kurt Ballou of Converge. He does he does their stuff, and they've had a bunch of guest drummers like Ben Kohler from Converge, Chris Penny, you know, mostly known for Dillinger Escape Plan and Coheed and Cambria. He played drums on some of their stuff. So it's weird. They have like kind of these, you know, big guests doing drums. But then like they give away all their music for free.
Yep.
Which is, you know, another thing that they do. And then they also have, they also do this like kind of weird thing where they put out a song called featuring Frank Turner, which they like
did not feature Frank Turner.
Took the piss out of. And I don't really know. That was a weird, kind of a weird thing. And I'm friends with Frank, and I don't think he was impressed. So, but basically, this band doesn't really give a shit.
No, not whatsoever.
So you might like them if you're into something that's a little just a little different, off the wall, for sure.
100%. I think this band, they're too good not to mention. But with such a stacked week next week, there's kind of too much that pushes them aside. So
absolutely. And yes, I know some people in the chat are saying they haven't heard of these bands. That's kind of the point.
Yeah, that's what we do here. I literally use my knowledge. I beg of you.
Right. Mike. Exactly. This is why this is a special thing we're doing here. If I do say so myself. Okay.
I'd like to think so.
I'd say that this is the most underrated Twitch stream going. Okay.
Unlike Don Broco, the most underrated everything.
We are the Don Broco of Twitch streams right here on this very channel. Thank you for watching. All right. That's The Armed. Very, very interesting project. I'm not sure what they've put out either. I kind of want to look at their discography real quick.
They've put out, I think, two albums and a live album.
Right.
So they had a record in 2015 called Untitled, then 2016 a live record, and then 2018 they had a record called Only Love. There's, I think they've been putting out music since like 2010, and I've always kind of seen them around. Like we always have, I forget the name of it, but there's like a Detroit Christmas punk show that they always play.
Okay.
And they always play with Suicide Machines.
Sick.
Another Detroit punk band.
Daple.
I've seen them around at things like Berserker Festival in Michigan. They're just kind of around locally.
They've
always kind of impressed me.
It's also important to mention this band is kind of like a collective. Like no one really knows who's in the band.
Yeah.
It's kind of like ever changing and, you know, it's just a very interesting thing, which I think is really cool. So mm-hmm. it's definitely worth people checking out if they're looking for something
you,
a little different.
You look at the picture on Spotify and it just looks like a motley assortment of people too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and who knows if those are even people in the band, right? Yeah, like they're the kind of people that would just be like, I don't know, here's some people. We're going to say it's the band. They're just, you know, it's the weirdest. It's a weird project, but yeah, it's cool.
I mean, and that's a pretty punk thing to do too. Like, I mean, look at Pussy Riot and stuff like that.
Yeah,
anonymous punk collective.
Exactly. 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 All right, let's move on to preview number two. Really going the other way on the punk side here.
100% going the other way on the punk. But I would say going from a band who doesn't give a fuck to another punk band who doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think they do.
But we've got to talk about the new album called Let the Bad Times Roll by The Offspring.
Yes, The Offspring. Hey, everybody knows them. Not everybody loves them. They've had some pretty massive missteps in their career.
100%.
It's funny because I never thought I would be comparing Green Day and The Offspring.
Yep.
And saying The Offspring probably is going to make a better record than Green Day.
It's a weird spot to be in, 100%. But I do think that's what's going to happen. I've listened to these two singles. I mean, they sound like The Offspring to me. It's nothing groundbreaking.
But which one? Which Offspring? There's so many.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, like there's good Offspring. There's like good, like punk rock, like kind of serious, like a little bit like socially kind of like important Offspring. Then there's like, Why Don't You Get a Job Offspring?
Yeah. And I would say that they're trying to recapture the sound of Why Don't You Get a Job Offspring.
See, that's the bad Offspring.
See, I like that Offspring too, though. But like the singles that I've heard, it almost sounds like they're trying to take that sound and capture kind of an old rock and roll sound with it too.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of an interesting fresh take. Maybe it's not a fresh take. I haven't really listened to the band quite a lot, but I would be amiss if I didn't mention them on the show, I think, knowing that they're putting out a record, knowing that they've put out such amazing hits, knowing that they're such a great like hit or miss band too.
Right.
But I mean, honestly, if you've loved the last records from The Offspring, you're going to love this record. It's, I mean, if you've been a longtime fan, you're going to enjoy it. I'm going to listen to it. We're going to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure, man. I have a really weird like history with The Offspring. I think is I should probably like just talk about really quick. We don't get a chance to talk about this band all that often. So what blows my mind is when you go to their Spotify and their number one track is You're Gonna Go Far, Kid, which like I would have thought like that's a new Offspring song, like that, you know, because that to me, that's a new Offspring song. Like I would have thought, oh, that just came out like a few years ago.
2008.
That song came out into that came.
I was in high school.
13 years ago.
That was an iconic high school growing up song for me.
See, iconic high school growing up song for me from The Offspring was like, I guess, yeah, the kids aren't all right. Like that record came out when I was in high school. But I mean, I listened to the band before that. I listened to the band when I was in grade 7. That's when 1994 that Smashed came out. I was 13. This record Smash, I'm not kidding, it pretty much changed my life. Like I give a lot of credit to NoFX and Rancid, but I heard this record before I heard that. This like
that was like your gateway in.
Absolutely. Green Day and The Offspring, that was my gateway. Come Out and Play, Self-Esteem, those songs were huge. This is when I learned what punk rock was, and those records, like Smash is still a great record.
It is.
I love it. And I really like their second album. Well, it's not their second album, but their follow up to their breakthrough record, Ixnay on the Hombre. I think that's a really great record. And Americana was a great record too. Then it got a little worse with Original Prankster. Some of these songs were, you know, They kind of hit this lightning in a bottle with Why Don't You Get a Job in these songs, and then they just tried to continue down that path. And I haven't really been into really much that they've done, but they haven't even put out that many records.
This
actually is
their first release. It's 2012. They had a EP in 2014 and a single in 2015.
Yeah.
And a single in 2018, but like first record in a long time.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, I think I'm interested to see what they do. I think sometimes these kind of bands, when you have a long gap, you know, you could get something good.
Could find the magic.
You could. And yeah, I mean, if they're playing fast punk, I know, like, every time they've tried to play fast, serious punk rock, they've made some pretty good music. So I'm here for it. I'm glad you're bringing them up.
Oh, yeah. Ready to get to our last little preview?
I 100% am.
All right. So this is probably the, I would say, closest to being in our normal top five.
Okay.
And this is the new record from Liquid Tension Experiment, LTE3.
Yes.
I know this is Lead Singer Syndrome, but they don't have a singer. Instrumental band.
Yeah.
For people not familiar with the band, it's got John Petrucci, Jordan Rudess, Mike Portnoy, and Tony Levin in the band. All incredibly talented people, especially Mike Portnoy and John Petrucci.
Sure.
Well, this record is...
Yep.
It's going to be such a fun instrumental prog release.
No, 100%. It is... It really is a strange project, and it's a little bit strange that it's been resurrected. To just give people a little history on the band, the first record came out in 1998. The second one, which was Liquid Tension Experiment 2, came out in 1999. So we're talking about a 22-year gap.
Yeah, which is insane.
In releases, but... You know, as some people, that if you follow Dream Theater, and I don't know if people do or not out there, but Mike Portnoy, their original drummer, John Petrucci, the guitar player who's still in the band, Mike Portnoy left the band on not great terms. I don't know when he was, but he was out of the band for like a decade.
Probably like 3 or 4. No.
Wasn't it?
I thought he left like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, I mean, what is time? I thought that Offspring single came out like a couple years ago, and it was 13 years ago. So I don't know, but
I'm checking the wiki.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
Okay. Mike Portnoy left in 2011 and he hasn't been back. So,
he's not back in the band.
No,
I thought that he had rejoined.
I thought so as well, but.
Well, that's interesting, for sure. You know, so I guess that makes sense though, why they didn't do a thing.
I think his main issue was with James LaBrie though. I think that's where the tension was. It wasn't with Petrucci.
Okay.
Which, I mean, honestly, if you're asking me, James LaBrie, extremely talented vocalist. I'm there for Petrucci and Portnoy. In old Dream Theater albums, though, and that's why I think I'm really gonna like this Liquid Tension Experiment album.
Yeah, man. I here's the thing. I've James LaBrie has been on the podcast before, and I think he's a great dude. I think that being a singer in a band like that, it's got to be the hardest.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Like, you know, like you're talking about just everyone's at the show to watch those dudes shred. And the vocals are an afterthought, which is like, there's no other music like that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
and he's amazing.
It's really hard. Like the only other bands I could maybe compare that to are like Dragon Force. You go there just to see Herman Lee and Sam Topman shred.
Yeah, it's very similar kind of thing. Sure.
Maybe like Rush back in the day.
Yeah, well, their bass player is their singer. So he's still playing at least,
exactly.
You know?
It's such a hard thing to do, and you don't see very many bands with extremely talented like guitarists, drummers, things like that, where the vocals end up being an afterthought anymore. It's just not as popular. Kind of the lead singer is the lead of everything, and you don't have these bands like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to note too, John Petrucci did put out a solo record last year too. His first solo album in 15 years. So yeah, this is cool to see Petrucci and Portnoy back together, at least for the first time in over 10 years to put this out. And yeah, if you like instrumental prog, very technical stuff, you're gonna love this.
If you're a music and production nerd, this is going to be a masterclass. I mean, those guys are just absolutely incredible at everything that they do. They're gods in the recording studio. So.
It really is the case. And Going back to Dream Theater, I think the first record, Images and Words, it must have come out in like 92. Mm-hmm. I remember it coming out. My sister had the CD. I was like 11 years old when she got that. And, you know, I remember thinking to myself, even at a young age, like,
it was 92.
This production is incredible. Like, mm-hmm. I've never heard a snare, for example, like, I never heard a snare drum sound like that before. It was so ahead of its time. And I really really couldn't even believe it, even as a kid, that record was produced by Petrucci and Portnoy.
Yeah.
So, like, even back then, I don't know how old they were. They were just kids. Like, they were in their 20s, like, putting together production like that. So, it's really cool just to watch those guys now, like, gods of the studio is 100% correct, but gods of their instruments as well.
Do you want to play your fun game and try and guess how old they are?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll give you a hint. They're the same age.
Oh, okay. They're the same age. Yeah, let me think about this. Okay, 92, debut album, Images and Words. I feel like they must have not been like that young. Like, I don't think they were like 20 when that came out kind of thing, because mm-hmm. I feel like it was too good.
Yeah.
It was too good for them to be like that. So, like, I don't think they were like quite 30, though. I think they were in their 20s. I'm going to say... I'm going to say they are
30. This is great podcasting. Well,
I'm thinking.
I know, okay? It's fun though.
Okay, let me think out loud a little bit, okay? So Images and Words came out in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that they were probably like 25-ish when mm-hmm. that came out. So if they're born in like 19 let's say 67, mm-hmm. then that would make them 54. I'm going to say they're 54.
They are 53. So
I almost said 53.
I got late birthdays.
See, I'm pretty good at this. It was too good for them to be like 21. Cause a mm-hmm. lot of bands, I would say like, okay, this artist, like this artist is, their debut record. They're probably like 20, 21. Right.
Yep.
But I figured there's no way they were like 30. Well, so Dream I knew Theater, they were somewhere Dream in the
been a band since 85 too.
They've been together since 85.
Yeah. So okay. First album was 7 years as a band.
Yeah. If that makes sense. They were like kids. Yeah.
Especially cause that, how masterful that album is. Like, that took years to write. I don't care who you are. That album is so incredibly well done.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Sorry for the delay in the podcast, but you got to think about this stuff. It's important.
You too.
It's important. I'm almost always within 1 year.
I got to stop looking in the chat. Real Beastmith trying to get me to fight. Saying a date remembers better than era.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's just let that die.
You want to talk about, let's recap the list and then we'll talk about some honorable mentions.
For sure. These are three upcoming previews. Check out the singles. Get ready for the albums. Number three was
Ultra Pop by The Armed out of Detroit, Michigan.
And number two was Going the Other Way on the Punk Side.
Let the Bad Times Roll by The Offspring.
And number one?
Number one was LTE3 by Liquid Tension Experiment.
There you go.
Hell yeah. Let's get into some honorable mentions.
Yes, let's do it.
One of the most talented frontmen. I don't care what
you
think,
Mike,
about
I appreciate that. It's too kind of you. Thank you. I'm right here. I'll be here all the rest of the podcast.
You're welcome.
Yes.
But one of the best frontmen in the scene, regardless of how you feel about this band, Black Veil Brides is putting out a single.
Oh, cool.
Always excited to hear something from this band just because I think Andy Biersnack is extremely talented. I don't like a lot of their music, but whenever they're on a package and I see them live, he's always a great front man.
Yeah.
Undeniably beautiful voice.
Yeah. He's a hell of a nice guy too, man. I've always enjoyed his, talking to him and his kind of like persona and the way that he presents himself, mm-hmm. I think is cool. You know, they've been a really weird band. They had this image that's sort of like, took away from their sound, and they had a lot of young fans that like it kind of made people not take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now they're at a point where maybe their fans have gotten a little bit older. Maybe they are a little less like,
I think they've definitely matured, especially they re-recorded Restitch These Hearts.
Exactly.
I think it's the album, and like it sounds more mature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think all of their fans, like, they were the poster child for Warped Tour 2010 band. Like, when I think 2010's Warped Tour, I think Black Veil Brides fan. That's what was seen in emo at the time. Like, that was the look.
Yeah, it was weird though, because they looked more like Motley Crue than they looked like Fall Out Boy. But like, I don't know. But it was all weird to me. But I do agree. Like, yeah, they re-recorded the first record. Mm-hmm. They've seemingly sort of found their own like sort of identity and where they want to go. And I could see them the future being bright for the band.
I agree as well. And I think that the only way they can go is up. They've had a bit of a dip. They've taken some time off.
Yeah.
I think they're going to come back.
Yep.
Another awesome, awesome band that we had on our Locals Only show. We've got the new single from My Own Will.
Oh, yeah.
It's more Detroit boys.
Yeah.
Super heavy. Can't wait to hear this. I've already heard it. Can't wait to hear it again. But
really
these
good.
Guys are awesome.
Really
super
good.
Heavy.
Super heavy. Great beard.
Great
beard. He's got a great beard. And that's all you need to know, really. Check it out if you like heavy music. Yeah, they're great. And it'll be interesting to see. I could see them getting picked up by a label and doing a thing. I really hope so. This could be another rookie card for you to pick up.
I believe so as well. I mean, such nice guys, too. So going to it, we've got somebody else who's been on the show recently. We've got a new single from The Main that came out today. The single's
cool.
Called April 7th. It would be kind of dumb not to release the song today.
Interesting.
It's really good, though. I think whereas the last single was more kind of the classic Main sound, this single is almost a bit more mellow, and I really like it. I think it's a good step for the band, and it shows how diverse this album's going to be, and I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I love The Main. John was just on the podcast last week talking about his own solo project. Was really interesting. Did you get a chance to check out the John the Ghost record, Mike?
I didn't yet.
You should. It's really just kind of like a hauntingly beautiful, like, electro pop but dark record. I think you'd really enjoy this.
Would you compare it to, like, Black Audio then?
It's a little less gothic
than
Black
but still
Audio.
Dark.
Yeah, it's dark, but in like a more of kind of like a poppy way than a Depeche Mode way, if that makes any sense. Like a little
I'm here
less
for it. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but really good. John the Ghost. So I'm interested to see now, like cycling a little bit back to The Main, just a band that I think has really improved over time. I think their releases keep getting better and better, songwriting wise, lyrically. Everything. So I'm here for The Main.
Awesome.
I think they're one of the most underrated bands in the scene. Even though they are pretty successful, I think they're still underrated.
Hell yeah. Speaking of more new singles, we've got a new single from Free Throw. You wear a Free Throw?
Swish.
You think they waited until after March Madness was done?
Just so it didn't get confused in the Google algorithms.
Exactly. Or maybe they were like, we're going to take advantage of the Google algorithms. Everybody's looking up Free Throws. Let's get our name in there.
Maybe.
No, this is a fun pop punk band.
Yeah.
They've announced their new album. It's going to be coming out in June. I forget the name of the album, but great band. Good times. Another fun kind of punk pop punk band that's putting out a new single this week. We've got a new We Were Sharks single.
Yes.
Can't wait for this album. It's going to be such a good time.
Yep.
These guys are really talented songwriters.
They are. And one of them's in my band.
Yo.
Because our guitar player, Paul Mark, has been working with them a lot over their career, writing with them a lot too. So, great band. We Were Sharks, Canadian boys, and great dudes, great band.
Hell yeah. We're going to go a little international now, and coming from Japan, we have one of my favorite metalcore, electronicore bands in Crossfaith. They're putting out a new single. I think they're announcing a new album, but I absolutely love Crossfaith. These guys are insane. They are so much fun.
Big cheers to Crossfaith, because literally nobody can drink more alcohol than Crossfaith.
They literally have a song called Jaeger Bomb.
They are unbelievable. Like, we're talking about those guys, like each one of them drinking their own bottle of Jack before going on at 2 o'clock on Warped Tour in the hot sun. Like, they're nuts. They know how to have a good time, but they also fucking know how to play. Love them. Love them.
Super talented.
Great people too. I've had so much fun with them.
Oh, they're some of my favorite memories, because I didn't even know who they were, and they had whatchamacallit, they were on my like first or second Warped Tour. I forget what year it was, but like I didn't know what to expect, and I come out and they opened with Jaeger Bomb, which is just a banger of a song, and like, oh, it's just so fun.
Awesome. No, they're tremendous. They're great. Yeah, I'm all here. I'm all in on Crossfaith. They're great.
100%. The next band, and I want to say, and I'm trying to confirm it right now. Yep. So these guys, they're a band called Windrunner.
Okay.
They're putting out their new single Cyan. They are from Hanoi, Vietnam. Absolutely amazing metalcore band.
Wow.
If you like bands like, I want to say Ocean's 8 Alaska, where they're kind of more ambient metalcore with like still breakdowns and fun riffs, bands like Earthists, almost like Sleepwaker, maybe even like some of the riffiness is like Shrezzers, but these guys are super duper fun. They're putting out a new single and I think it's going to blow up for them. I'm really excited.
Is this band either female fronted?
Female fronted metalcore band.
Cool. So this is really cool. I have not heard of this band at all. I just pulled them up right now. Here's the thing. I assume you've never been to Hanoi, Mike.
I have not.
It's one of the most chaotic cities I've ever been to. It's just like crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know where a band would, like, where they would find a place to practice and play metalcore. Like, I guess there's probably sort of suburban areas or garages they could find to make some noise in. I just picture a band coming from there and it just blows my mind. But I am so excited to hear a band from Hanoi, Vietnam.
Well, you gave me the new John the Ghost record this week, so you should listen to the new old 2018 album My by Windrunner, because these guys are something else and I cannot wait for this full length that's going to be coming with this single, hopefully.
Yep. 100%. Sick. This is sick. The band again was called, is it Windrunner, right?
Windrunner.
One word. Yep. Check them out. Very, very, very interesting stuff.
So the next single that we've got, kind of a new old band. Recently they got a cease and desist to change their name. They used to be known by the name Convictions. They are now called Caskets. Absolutely incredible band. They are putting out a new single and I can't wait to hear it, because I love everything this band's ever done. They are some of the nicest dudes I've ever met, just kind of at random shows, opening band and stuff like that. Always great dudes, always down to talk music. And they're going to put out another banger. And they announced their album. I think it's coming in a couple of weeks, too. It's going to be great. Love these guys. Go check it out.
Okay.
And then last but not least, we're starting a new era. I know a lot of people are kind of diehard fans of this band, but they've announced their new album. I think it's called Icy and Scaly or Scaly and Icy, but 21 Pilots, new single.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Dropped today. I like it a lot, which really surprised me, because I kind of fell off of this band with Blurry Face. They had a couple songs on that record that I liked. Trench was good, but it didn't have like any songs that pulled me into it. It was always kind of like a, man, I'm going to put this record on and try and get into it. And I get through the record and I'm like, nope, I've been whelmed. But this song feels like a fun kind of poppy return to their quirkiness of their kind of first couple releases.
Right.
And I think that this, if they keep up this sound, they might grab me again. And I'm really excited for this, because they're two extremely talented dudes.
Yeah, I mean, a band, yeah, they've been at it for a while. They've been popular for a while now, too.
Yep.
I'll be completely honest. this is a band that I think just somehow just they just miss with me. I just think that I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm not a huge fan. However, I will say that one time we were playing in Columbus at the Newport Music Hall, and we loaded in, and that morning they had had, I want to say, a photo shoot in the venue, and they had, it was catered, so like they had all this food and stuff that they guess they brought in for the photo shoot. And I mean, first of all, there's only two of them. And I don't know how many crew was on the photography crew for a photo
probably
shoot.
A lot with how big of a band they are.
I mean, yeah, but it's photos. Like, how many people could, like, a couple people to hold up lights and a guy to shoot the show? I don't know. Anyway, but they left all of their catering for us to have and enjoy. So I thought that was really nice that they left it. And they said, Silverstein, you can have our leftover photo catering budget.
I wouldn't be surprised. They've always kind of, like, I mean, their first major tour, I got to see them. They went out with Panic at the Disco and Fall Out Boy. I wouldn't be surprised if those two dudes are, I don't know, secret, not so secret. I haven't read a ton of their interviews or anything, but like Warped Tour scene kids would not surprise me whatsoever.
No. I think that they totally get it. And I mean, like, they're such a massive, massive band. And they do seem like pretty humble, and they have such a diehard fan base that just loves everything they do, and they seem to do a great job of respecting their fans and everything. So I'm not a huge fan of their music. I do like the band, and I do like them as people, and like, you know, how they operate, I think is cool. I think
they do a lot of cryptic stuff with like decoding when the new single is going to come out, and like a bunch of like lore and backstory, which I always think is fun.
Yeah, no, 100%. So there you go. New single from 21 Pilots. That's big. That's really big. And when they put out a new album, it'll dominate. So
I forgot I have more news. I was about to forget about talking about it today.
I
was going to bring it up last week because I found out the information. I got a little leak or a little early, but The Devil Wears Prada.
Yep.
Have announced their new EP.
Yep.
Zombie 2. First single on April 23rd. We got to wait a little bit.
Cool.
But from the teaser, it sounds like it's heavy. It sounds like it's going to sound exactly like that EP 10 years ago. I am so excited for this. This is going, I'm saying it now. This is going to be my favorite album artwork of the year because it is just beautiful.
Oh, cool.
I bought a poster with it. I bought a flag with it. I bought all the record variants. I'm very excited. I love The Devil Wears Prada, and I can't wait to hear this.
Such a interesting, like, sort of thing that happened with the band. So, like, 100%. Everybody remembers, like, you know, Plagues came out. The band was super young. Like, they turned a lot of heads. Younger people really liked it. A lot of older people were like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, a lot of people did not like it.
Right. Then they put out with Roots Above, Branches Below, a good record, you know. But then what was crazy was they sort of put out the Zombie EP. Like, it was almost just kind of like a holdover record.
It was nonchalant. It was just like, here you go.
Yeah, it was like a just kind of like, okay, whatever. Because, you know, it happens with EPs. You don't typically get like a lot of love, especially this is like, it came out in 2010.
And so it blew them up.
I honestly don't think any band's most loved release is an EP except for The Devil Wears Prada. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, what other band can say that?
I honestly don't know.
It's like, hard. Like, other than maybe like the First Senses Fail EP, like people still hold on to that. You know, that's the first release. Like, the first Sum 41 EP, people really like that. Half Hour of Power, which is kind of a full length, I don't know. You know, there's like things like that, but like, this really was like, for a band to put an EP in the middle of their career and have it be the thing that people reference now, it's kind of wild. So I think it's cool that they're like, hey, our fans like this, we're not too good for this.
I mean, I loved the Space EP too. I'm honestly,
oh yeah,
I think the Space EP is a little bit better than the Zombie EP. Maybe that's just because I like the concept more.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't think The Devil Wears Prada has had a bad record. Like, they're just incredible dudes.
They are really, they're some of my favorite people I've ever had the pleasure of sharing the road with, sharing a bus with. I was actually like going through my phone. This is kind of random, but I was going through my phone yesterday, like some trying to find some old stuff from like, you know, years ago. And I went back into the deep depths of my photo, my camera roll from 2016 when we toured with Devil Wears Prada in Europe. We shared a bus with them. And like I was finding what we used to have on the bus. Well, it was Devil Wears Prada brought it onto our bus. This is their thing. They called it Ladies' Night. Now, Ladies' Night on a tour bus might be, might sound a little sketchy.
A little bit.
But it's not Ladies' Night. It's Late 80s Night.
Perfect.
Ladies' Night. Where what we would do is definitely no ladies on the bus. We're talking about all the dudes just ripping whatever alcohol's available, cranking up all of the late 80s jams up to 12 and dancing the night away.
That's beautiful.
That was ladies' night.
That's what self-care
Prada
looks like, people.
Right?
Sometimes it's a bath with candles. Sometimes it's getting really drunk and listening to 80s music.
Yeah. Sometimes it's Billy Joel, as loud as the stereo will go. When the bus driver, because in Europe they like sleep under the bus during the day. It's weird. When the bus driver gets up and is like, "You have to turn that down right now. You have to turn that down right now." And we're like, "No, sorry. This is Billy Joe's For the Longest Time," and we're all singing it at the top of our lungs. Sorry, that's just what's happening. So anyway, I love Prada. I love that they're doing this. I think it's super cool. They're kind of giving back to their fans. Not that their last records haven't been like great, but I think like they've done the last couple of records, they've experimented a little bit more. And if they're just going like fucking heavy on this, I think that's really cool, especially for an EP.
Mm-hmm. So you saying like early 2010s, like right when Zombie came out, you made me think of this Devil Wears Prada show that I went to in 2012. And this is the weirdest lineup I've ever experienced. It was like, it was billed at a festival at some fairgrounds down in Ohio. And I'm just going to say the headliners. There are a couple other good bands like Attack Attack played, Texas July played. But the headliners were Devil Wears Prada, co-headlining with Machine Gun Kelly. And if that's not the weirdest bill, like, it was so strange.
It's like, was it like an Ohio thing? Because they're both from Ohio, and, well, Attack Attack from Ohio too, obviously.
Yeah, I think it was like Rock on the Range, like
right
when it was starting, they were like, we're going to branch out and do this thing. I think they called it like Rockapalooza or something like that. It was like it was billed as a back to school festival for like all the college kids in Columbus. And I'm like, I drove down and I went, and it was a good time. It was really weird seeing MGK fans watch Devil Wears Prada and watching Devil Wears Prada fans watch MGK, though.
I wonder what MGK fans in 2012 think of him now, or like where they are.
I can't imagine.
What a weird career that guy had. Like, I know I said this on the past broadcast we've done, like how confusing I find this guy. It's not changing. I'm still confused. No. Still confused.
We like him now, but we're still confused.
Yeah. Do you recall what shoes he was wearing?
No, I don't. It was a long time ago. It's like 9 years now. Crap, I'm getting old.
Yeah, man. Jeez. It's funny as hell.
You ready to wrap it up, though?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the podcast. We talked about some great records, from very punk to kind of punk to not punk at all.
Yeah.
And everything.
We told some stories.
We did. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Yep. And if you want the full list, as always, follow me on Instagram at /slam. I post it there. Or join the Lead Singer Cinder Mall Access Club, because it's there.
That's it. Thanks, everybody.